Ever since I figured out in high school that if I didn't sleep, I could not pay attention, nor could I respect my teachers. Welcome to the Ancestral Mind Podcast. My name is Colin Stucker, founder, CEO, office co, and theancestralmind.com. I'm here with Brent Philbin.
Hey,
from the Crypto Basics Podcast. I didn't say you could talk yet, Brent. Wait. Where we cover all things from ancestral health perspective. We want to help you build an ancestral mind so you can think about the decisions you make on a daily basis while considering the first principles of what makes you human. I'm going fast on purpose. We're just trying some shit out. Okay. Just keep that in mind.
We do not want people listening on 1.5 speed. Forget about it. We're going to talk as fast as humanly possible so that you cannot listen to 1.5 speed. If you do, you are not going to catch anything that we say on this show.
Or if you can keep up, that's impressive. So we are here to wake people up to the mismatch of our current environment so we can hopefully reverse the trend of our declining health currently overtaking our species, the species of Homo sapiens sapiens living in our modern world. My name is Colin Stuckert. I moved to Austin 4 years ago to start a company called Wild Foods Co., where we specialize in real food ingredients. I am obsessed with what I put in my body. That's what led to Wild Foods. It's what led to the podcast today. And I'm on a mission to help people wake up to the reality of our environment and how it affects their genes and how we can all live better so that human beings don't have to be fat and sick as we move into the next epoch of human evolution.
I noticed you used the term, we're going to wake people up to this.
That's right.
I see what you did there, Colin. What are we talking about today?
Oh, I get it. I didn't mean to do that, but that works. Today, we're talking about sleep. So I guess that was the subtle pun that I subconsciously threw out there. We're going to talk about how to sleep better, things that you can do to get more sleep, deeper sleep, stay asleep longer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on all the different things. I'm going to try to give you, I guess we're going to try to give you some recommendations of just how to make some changes today so that you can start sleeping. Even an extra hour here and there can have a tremendous effect on your long-term health and your short-term results. And we have some funny stories about sleep because I've been treating my sleep very particularly for a very long time. Ever since I figured out in high school that if I didn't sleep, I could not pay attention, nor could I respect my teachers. But even when I was getting sleep, I still had a problem with authority, but that's a topic for another day.
I was going to say, I don't know if that's related to your sleep, unless it was just like all those years of not sleeping piling up and now it's irreversible.
Yeah. So we're going to dive into some of the things that you can do, some of the things that are based on first principles of being a human animal. And then we're going to give you some other tactics that you can use in your modern world, some technology you can use, some technologies to stay away from at certain times of the day, have a whole sleep routine, a morning routine. There's a lot of good stuff that's going to be in the show. We're not going to go on too long, though. I want to keep this very actionable. So I'm going to say we're going to aim for 30 to 40 minutes. Brent, and can you take it away with who the show is sponsored by?
Well, this show today and every day is sponsored by Wild Foods, wildfoods.co, real foods, real ingredients. We'll get them to you in real time. If you go to wildfoods.co, you can type in the promo code AMPODCAST12. You get 12% off of your order. It doesn't matter if it's your first, your second, or your 20,000th order. We'll still give you that percentage. Thanks for listening to the show.
Good job. Good ad today. All right. So what do we got? What do we got on the show? You want to add anything before we hop into it?
Well, if you haven't been listening to the previous shows, this is episode 8. We just covered cognitive biases. That was released, I guess, a few days ago now. And we're going to have some cool stuff coming up. Some previews of what's to come. We're going to be talking about sex 3.0 in the future.
Part A and part B.
There's going to be two episodes, one without a guest and one with one. So we won't get too... We won't get too specific, but you'll see that coming
up. What is Sex 3.0, Brent? Give us a teaser.
The teaser is we're doing relationships and sexuality a little bit wrong.
Or incongruent with our genes.
Yes, not the way that humans are meant to be. Not
natural. It's normal, but it's not natural. And we're going to talk about what that is. And it applies to anybody that has the traditional idea of what a human, you know, male and female relationship should be. Or I guess any sex on sex relationship, you know, I'm going to be PC here, but generally the way we do it in our modern world is mismatched, just like all the things we do, from our sleep to our diet, to how much we move, how little we move, all the sitting we do. It is mismatched to the way we are. Our current world, what is normal, what is common, is pretty much at the opposite end of the spectrum of what we're designed for. And that's what we do here in the Ancestral Mind. We'd like to unpack these things. We like to give you the first principle based information that are based on the basics of biology, so you can then decide how to tweak your life to get the best results, the best expressions of your genes. Now, what does it mean to best express your genes, Brent?
That's the first time I've heard that term on here.
Oh, you've heard it. You're just not. Maybe you're glossing over it. It basically means to be a fit, sexy human animal.
Oh, yeah. You usually do at the beginning of the show tell me that.
Because so. if you're not best expressing your genes and you're getting a not great or subpar expression, what are ways do you think that could manifest in the human animal?
Being fat. Probably a good one.
Definitely the big one. Yep. Stressed, not being able to think clearly, brain fog, being cranky, being tired all the time. Like, there's a million ways that your environment dictates the results you get in life and how you feel. And so today's topic is all sleep, because after nutrition, sleep is one of those big things. In fact, if you have your sleep and it's really not great, that's going to even come before nutrition. On kind of the order of hierarchy. Like, think about, like, when you have no sleep, just how not functional you are. But if you maybe have a couple of days of not eating great, you know, it'll start to catch up with you, but still, like, you can still function. But without sleep, like, most of us can't do anything. We're completely and utterly useless.
There are a lot of people that think the way to get the American dream, Colin, is sleep 4 hours a night, be up at
garbage,
be up at 5 a.m., working before everybody else is in the office, being the last one to leave the office, staying up late to do your work, and sleeping when you're dead. That is the...
Yeah, that's garbage.
That is the...
And we're going to actually debunk some of that. We're going to talk about how that is a fallacy, an illusion. You can look at the myriad of research that basically shows you how less effective you are with, like, every hour of sleep that you miss. Right. So you might think you're getting an extra few hours in here and there, but you're operating at 50, 60, 70, 80% of what you could be. Whereas if you just got the sleep and then you operate the whole day at like 99%, your output's going to be way better. And so that's another one of those kind of quality versus quantity fallacies that we fall into as human beings. So why don't we just get into it? I want people to start thinking about their current routine. I want to give them very actionable things that they can do. What's cool about sleep is there's some really amazing tools you can buy that can literally overnight transform your sleep. They did for me, and I've seen it happen for a lot of people. And we're going to talk about what those tools are, but let's just go over some of the primary principles of what a good night's sleep looks like, and then we can kind of go from there. Kick us off.
Before I even jump into this, I want to say that if you have any comments about this sleep, I feel like this is usually a hot button issue. Make sure to reach out to us at ancestralmind@gmail.com.
How's the hot button though?
People feel like they've got sleep figured out because you would think that you're a pro at it, right? You've been doing it your entire life, and a lot of people feel like there's not going to be anything to improve. So if we say something that might be triggering or might cause a little bit of a cognitive dissonance reaction, always good to open a dialogue.
Always good to keep it to yourself.
I handle the email, not Colin, so
it's conducive.
Send it my way.
But really what you're saying is, I can see that. I think there's different ends of the spectrum. Like, most people that I've talked to, at least the ones that kind of acknowledge that they could probably sleep better, that's kind of probably the audience that we're aiming on a show like today, because we're like, here's some things to help you sleep better, right? Then there's going to be people that think, oh, they can just get 6 hours and they can function, they're fine, because they've been doing that for years. And that is a huge fallacy, and this would be one of the things that we would say that you're lying to yourself, and that might cause some dissonance, and so we should unpack that. But I think for most people are pretty open to the idea that, like, their sleep could be better. I mean, especially if you work or you have kids or you have anything that kind of, you know, makes sleep a little bit more difficult. Like, I have the luxury of being able to sleep in every day of my life. I make a point to, I literally only sleep until my body tells me to wake up. So I sleep as long as that takes. This last week, I haven't been feeling that great. So I've actually been sleeping to, like, the other night I went to bed at 12, which is very early for me, 12 midnight.
Wow.
And I slept till 10:30, right? And I didn't really feel great either. I could tell I was still kind of recovering. And then last night I went to bed about 2 and I slept till 10:30. So both nights, I'm getting well beyond my average sleep, which is, my average sleep when I'm feeling good is like 7.75 hours, like on the dot. If I happen to have been working out or playing racquetball or extra tired, I'll usually sleep between 8 and 8.5 hours. But then my body just wakes up and, like, I can't go back to sleep, right? Most people have probably never done that. Or, I mean, some people probably have never done that entire life, but most people don't do that because they have to wake up for kids or work or whatever. And we'll talk about how you can actually adjust your pre-bed ritual to help you reach that goal. But I think for most people, the goal should be to give yourself enough time around sleep, whether before or after, so that you can let your body sleep as long as it needs. And then obviously you have concepts like sleep debt, which basically say that you tend to have to make up hours you miss and things like that. But let's just, before we get too deep in the weeds on that, let's talk about let's read off these principles we have here, and then let's talk about some of these things that they could literally buy on Amazon today and get to their house tomorrow and help them sleep better.
Okay. All right. So, like Colin was saying, sleep 7 to 9 hours per night. And it's going to vary from person to person. So you're going to have to play with that a little bit, well, right?
But like, let's, and before we move on, let's think about why that is. So You get into things like circadian rhythm, which is basically about how humans are linked very much to the sun rising and setting, right? And I mean, we are. All of Earth wouldn't exist without the sun. Like, it's how plants use photosynthesis to turn things into food that we can then eat in the form of plants and animals. Like, the sun literally gives us life. And so before we had electricity, we would tend to go to sleep at night when it was dark because we couldn't, even if we could control fire, like, you're not really bringing fire with you. And I was reading a book recently that talked about how any of our ancestors that would have wandered around at night would have not survived. Yeah. Like you were at night, humans have a huge disadvantage over every predator.
Yeah, we can't see nearly as well.
Like, we can't hear and we can't smell. Whereas, like, the big cats can literally see, hear, and smell you like daylight at night, right? So you didn't go out at night. And so what'd you do? You hurl around with your tribe and you'd go to sleep, maybe sleep around the fire, whatever. And then when the sun came out during the day, you'd wake up, which explains so much of our biology. And then we have things like how sunlight and light itself actually affects melatonin levels and serotonin levels and things like that. But let's just explain why 7 and 9 is kind of like a range for people, right? So that's kind of the ancestral point of view.
Okay.
So continue.
So you're going to need to sleep more when you exercise and when you're getting more stress.
Dealing with more stress.
Yeah.
Right. So that could be exercise stress. It could be work stress, life stress, relationship stress, et cetera. Your body, when it is stressed, mentally or physically, requires more recuperation. This is just, you know, a principle, right? Not really much to talk about there. It's just something, if anything, it's something that people don't really pay attention to.
It's kind of the opposite with a lot of people. They get stressed out more because they're doing more at work and they've got deadlines and blah, 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 yeah. And they sleep less.
Well, then that's more of a kind of a sleep, I don't know, is apnea the word or insomnia type thing?
Apnea is when you're like stopping breathing in your sleep. It's a fat guy thing.
Yeah, I'll have to think about what the word is for that.
Insomnia is when you can't sleep.
Yeah, but so there's something in between, though. There's something in between insomnia and like not being able to fall asleep or kind of staying awake, restlessness. I don't know what the exact word is. I'm pretty sure there's a medical word for that. But we'll maybe someone could let us know what that is. But if you're struggling with those type of things, then you get into things like meditation, mindfulness, or whatever. And that's, I don't think we're going to cover that today too much. Maybe we'll go into it a little bit at the end. But let's just continue.
Interestingly, meditation does cause your brain to produce the same brain waves as when you're asleep. So yep. It does actually change your state of mind and can probably help with recharging.
Well, it also helps you sleep because it helps you suppress as the Buddhists called, they call it monkey mind. Monkey mind is your brain and your thoughts just bouncing around like a monkey and you have no control whatsoever. And so if you're having trouble sleeping because you're like stressed at work, you don't have control over your mind. You have monkey mind, right? And so mindfulness and meditation is a big way to combat that. But before we get into the weeds, Brent, please continue to the next point.
Speaking of weeds, sleep in a pitch black room. Invest in blackout curtains.
And because it came first, we're going to, and this probably would be the first thing, although sound machine kind of go hand in hand, but this is going to be one of those big things that you could literally go on Amazon today and buy, get some duct tape too maybe, and make your entire room so that it's pitch black at night. So that is the first number one thing that every single person listening to the show could do today to improve their sleep. Okay? We're going to circle back to that. So let's go to the next one.
Another thing you can buy on Amazon, Colin, use a sound machine. It will change your life.
I own 6 of them now.
Jesus.
And I usually bring 2 when I travel. I use 2. We use 2 in the room. We have 1 in the baby's room. I have 1 in my office. They're simply amazing. Or if you just want to drown out annoying roommates you live with or people that make sound, literally, this is the most amazing thing ever. And what the sound machine does is it creates white noise. I like the ones that aren't digital, so that use an actual fan. So I believe the brand is Marpak. And ever since I bought this thing and started sleeping with it, it's a freaking game changer. So this plus blackout curtains can, for most people, maybe give them an extra 30 minutes to an hour a night of sleep, plus make it easier to fall asleep, plus give you deeper REM sleep when you are sleeping. So these are the 2 things that everybody today should go out and buy immediately. Okay?
All right.
On?
Turn off or unplug all devices in your room, especially any that emit artificial light.
Yeah. Blue light, you know, the electronics that have like little on, power on things or like standby lights or whatever, get rid of all of that. They've done studies. So this one study has stuck with me for years, ever since I read it. They took sleep subjects and they put them in a pitch black room, covered them completely from head to toe in, I guess, clothing, blankets, whatever, and then took a small light and put it on the back of their calf and then tested their melatonin levels. And when they were exposed to the light, it disrupted their melatonin levels, that small bit of light. So this is how you have to start thinking about light. Light touches you, your skin, your eyes, et cetera, and it causes a physical reaction. It's the same way we go out in the sun and we get vitamin D production, right? In fact, going out in the sun and viewing, letting those rays get into your eyes, actually, obviously don't stare at the sun, but like indirectly, those UVV and UVA lights that get into your eyes, that's another way that helps you with vitamin D production. Very, very important and a topic for another day. But when you think of light, anything artificial, especially blue light, that really disrupts all of your hormones and everything, it can make sleep harder to get into, it can make REM sleep harder to fall into, and it can make it hard to fall asleep. You have to get rid of artificial light. And then also, when we talk about kind of the pre-sleep hygiene, you have to be able to turn off electronics a couple hours before you go to sleep, and also avoid as much artificial light as possible, even just light bulbs in your bathroom, your house. You know, like, you want to really build a dark and getting darker setting 2 to 3 hours before bed. And that would ideally be no screens whatsoever. But since most of us use computers and phones,
download the app F-Lux to reduce blue Lux. F.Lux, sorry. To reduce blue light exposure on your computer, and use Night Shift on your iPhone, or there's night mode on Android devices. All of this is free.
Yep.
Doesn't cost you anything.
And you should keep them on all the time. It's just the best way to do it. I don't even, like, my screen looks weird when the blue light thing is off. I'm so used to having Night Shift on. What I actually do is I set it so that 9:59 a.m., it ends, and then it starts again at 10, mm-hmm. 10 a.m., right? And so that's basically on all day long.
Another thing I could suggest is using, like, the Gunner-style glasses that...
The blue light glasses, yeah. For sure. Mm-hmm. Those things are cool, too. But you know, in general, your home, use candles. You can buy red bulbs. You can buy orange glow bulbs on Amazon. We'll link to some of those below. We have those in our bathroom. We have those in, I think, our closet, just anywhere at night where you would use those in lieu of a broad spectrum or a daylight spectrum bulb is going to give you some of those benefits of reducing the blue light and reducing the other. There's even other lights that can cause issues because there's, you know, the spectrum of light, different ones affect your biology differently.
Would a Philips Hue work for that? If somebody had a Philips Hue, could they set it to the right color?
I don't know. I looked into those and they kind of seemed to me like they were artificially using a color to cover up, like, the daylight spectrum light. I just don't know if it was an actual...
They use RGB. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess if someone figured that out, you know, let us know, because that would be cool if you could have lights that you could change. But, you know, in general, if you get one of those, like, the nightlight bulbs or, like, this baby sleep smart bulbs or whatever, it's just an orange glow. It's a little less bright than a daylight bulb. And, like, if you have them in your rooms, you just get used to it. It's fine. Like, you know, you don't really need to have daylight bulbs in your house.
And, like, if there's ever a ghost or something, they'll feel more comfortable being definitely. Around. And
how about a wah-wah? Give me a wah-wah. There you go. All right. So that was all the principles. Funny. Now let's just see what some other things we can go into with this. Now, obviously, Brent, if you have any of these, if you have questions with any of these, if any of these seem new to you, you know, act at like the noob that you are and ask me questions. Well, and I'll feel free to.
The unique thing here is I have never in my life had any issues falling asleep. I fall asleep the second I hit the pillow. I sleep through anything. My only issue has always been waking up. So I can actually give some people some tips on that if they need help waking up. But I have always had, as far as I can tell, good sleep. So I guess I'm super lucky in that sense. Most people tell that to them and they're like, what? That's insane. There's no way.
Yeah, I also don't think it's healthy, though, the way you sleep with all the lights on and shit like that.
I don't do that anymore. I used to actually sleep with the lights on because I was playing a ton of poker, and I would go to bed at like 5 and 6 in the morning, and then what would happen is the light from the sun would come in and wake me up. I didn't have blackout curtains, so I would just fall asleep with the light on so it wouldn't bother me when the light came out. So,
yeah, well, most of the people listening are not going to be as fortunate as you in that way, Brent.
Yeah.
When I travel, I have major issues falling asleep. Usually the first couple nights, I get very little sleep just because my body can't adjust. Since I started bringing blackout curtains, duct tape, and sound machines, it does help. But, you know, then you get into things like the bed you have and whatever. In fact, the bed. And you're sleeping on one too because you're sleeping at the studio, Brent. You're sleeping at the Wild Food Studio. And you're sleeping on a Nectar bed, which is what we got at home and it's great. Have you noticed any difference yourself? Are you not a bed person?
It's comfortable. I don't really notice the difference in my sleep. When my girlfriend visited, she noticed the difference and said it was nice because when I moved around, it didn't wake her up.
Yeah, that's another thing. They're, I just love them. Obviously, the other bed in the boxes are like Casper, and there's actually a ton of them. There's like avocado beds. It's insane how many brands there are now.
They're probably all the same.
All very similar. Yeah, and I think the ones that are trying to position themselves as like NASA-grade technology, this bed, and this is why you should spend $3,000 on this bed or whatever, like... On all of the research that I did, and I did quite a bit before we bought the bed, I decided the Nectar was the best price for what you got compared to the other ones. So we love it, and we have two now here.
Check the show notes. I think we will have an affiliate code from them. We applied. I don't know if they're going to give it to us by the time the show's released, but if they do and you feel like buying a Nectar bed, it would be sweet if you could help support the podcast at the same time.
Yeah, we would appreciate that. But either way, I think everybody should make a conscious decision about their bed they're sleeping in. Consider if their bed should be upgraded. There's a lot of great bed-in-a-box options now and definitely could be a game changer, especially if you sleep with someone else and they have different preferences. Like our bed, we end up with a firm style because I like really firm, but it's not too firm to whereas Allison can't sleep in it and kind of sleep on like her either her back or her side. Like it just does really well for like a wide variety of sleep styles and preferences. So I love it. Generally, when it comes to sleep, these are just things you need to do. And I guess circadian rhythm we could talk about. I am not a good use case for this because I've been a night owl for a long time. I have been trying to sleep a little bit more, wake up a little bit earlier and sleep a little bit earlier since we had Darrow, but I still sometimes will stay up till 3 or 4 a.m. and sleep till like 12 or 1.
You may still be fighting your biology with that. I have read studies, and if I can find them, I'll put them in the show notes, but they're pretty recent where there is a physiological difference between those that are night owls and those that are not. So the whole, as with anything, anytime you have an overarching thing of people needed to fit into this mold, you should be thinking about it and thinking, should I fit into that mold? Why is that mold made? Why is that the way it is? And one of the molds is you got to get up at 6 a.m., wait in traffic, go to work, and then go home at 5, sit in happy hour while the traffic calms down, blah, blah, blah.
That's having a job. I mean, I think the mold you're trying to address is the wake up early with the sunrise.
Yeah, but
which I haven't done in years.
You could have jobs with, you could choose to have a job that fits more towards your schedule.
Yeah, that's why I had to be an entrepreneur, because I literally could not function in school. Like,
you could choose to work remotely. You could choose to work like a casino job where you would be working more of the swing shift or a server position, bartender, that kind of thing. Like, you can make choices that make better sense for you. But if you're fighting every day and you're not a morning person, you can't. You might not have to fit into that mold. That might not be what is best for you.
I think the question is whether that's healthy or not, because I'm not so sure that it is. Like, we do have, you know, there's some pretty solid evidence around circadian rhythm and around sleeping with the sun, getting the most REM sleep when the sun is down, things like that. I think, like, and this is what I've done, to replicate the sun being down as much as possible. That's why I have a pitch black room. It's why I have no lights on in there, which is why I duct tape everything to keep as much light out as possible. And then also why we use multiple sound machines to just try to disrupt anything from the outside world from waking me up. And it definitely helps. I just don't know. I don't think the argument that, well, you're just different, you're just a night owl, so it's fine. I still think I would be better off like waking up at like 9 or 10 a.m. and just like having a little bit less time where I'm asleep with the sun up, right? Like, I think I would be better. But you should try it.
Experiment for a week or two and see.
I did. When I'm not feeling good, it's easy. But then I ended up sleeping to like, I literally went to bed at 12 and slept to like almost 11 because I needed it. I was recovering from something. But
I've always found that when I sleep too long, it feels worse.
I've never experienced that.
Yeah,
I hear people talk about that, but I think it's because people have a lot of sleep debt, and what happens is their body has to make up so much sleep debt that they hit like a second REM cycle or something, and then they wake up in the middle of that, or they don't get it doesn't go all the way through or whatever, and then like that ends up making them feel worse, and their body's in so much debt, they still need even more. But I've just found that like since I'm letting my body every day sleep as long as it needs, when I get a lot of sleep, like I slept 10 hours last night, like I feel better.
Do you ever set an alarm, or you just wake up when you wake up?
I literally only set an alarm if I have like a meeting or something. And also, and this is one of the benefits of setting your own schedule and kind of working for yourself, is I don't schedule anything in the mornings anymore. I used to kind of have this weird shame around it. Like, oh, well, you know, they like to do like 9 a.m. meetings or 10 a.m. Yeah, or no phone way. Calls or whatever.
And I'm my
like,
Calendly does not have more.
Yeah, I'm just like, I literally will never set a meeting. I tell people I'm available 1 to 4 p.m. That's it. Like, yeah. 1 to 4 p.m. And if you want to do like a 9 p.m. call, I'm all for that as well. But I'm just not waking up in the morning anymore. And you know, that's fine by me. But,
so when you do set an alarm, if you do have to wake up, do you find yourself snoozing a lot?
No. If I have time to sleep more. See, here, this is one of those things. It's like when you aren't in sleep debt, when you aren't sleep deprived, you don't snooze. What I do, though, is I'll wake up, I have to go to the bathroom. And if I still feel tired, I'll go back to bed for an hour or two. Mm-hmm. Right? Sometimes it's like 30 minutes, 45. Sometimes it's an hour, whatever. But I always just listen to my body and I just make kind of a calculated decision. Can I wake up? No, I don't really feel like great. I don't want to ruin my day. I literally go back to sleep for as long as it takes. That has been huge. And I don't like ever really like do the snooze thing ever as a result. Also, I don't have to be anywhere unless I literally have a meeting and then I would just get up, right? But what about people that don't have that luxury? Like, I guess that's something we need to address. We need to address some strategies for how to have morning responsibilities, but give yourself the opportunity to basically sleep as much as you need to.
Yeah, or also at least understand your sleep cycles and when you're in REM sleep and that kind of thing. Like, there are activity monitors that you can wear mm-hmm. that will wake you up when you are less likely to be in a deep sleep state because you're restless, you're moving around and stuff like that. So they can notice that, so you can set a window for your alarm rather than an exact time, and it'll wake you up when it is best.
Or just track your sleep and find like when you get the best times, and set priorities. I think the biggest thing for having a better routine around sleep starts the day before. What most people do is they're on their phone or their computer and they're like, oh, you know, it's late, time for bed. And they just turn it off and try to go to bed.
Right.
That is the worst way to go about it. Give yourself at least an hour. And this is when I like to read, ideally fiction. Give yourself an hour. Find either candlelight, an orange bulb, or just some kind of low light setting, and just give yourself a chance to just unwind and get ready for sleep. No screens, nothing, right? I mean, you could literally take a time to meditate, or you could just be still, or, you know, whatever. Just turn the screens off and give yourself enough time to let your body prepare, even just mentally, to go to sleep. That could be huge. And what you do is, if you basically need to give yourself, I would say, an hour before and then an hour after, like in the morning. So if you have to be up at 8 a.m., for example, you would want to, help me with the math here, Brent, you would want to have an hour in the morning as a minimum. So 7 to 8 is kind of the range in the morning.
Right.
So 8 hours before then would be 7, so 10 o'clock or?
It'd be 11, but 10 is when you'd want
to
power down more or less.
Well, is that when you'd want to start the hour power down, or would it be 9?
No, you would start at 10, and so then you'd be, 10? Ideally be to sleep by 11. Get your 8 hours, wake up somewhere around 7, and
between 7 and 8, like, yeah. You know, and I think that's something people don't do, is they don't give themselves a little bit of a range. They're just like, okay, 8 hours of sleep, that's my goal. Then I'm gonna go to bed at 12 and 8. I'm gonna wake up at 8 and I'm gonna be great. But it's like, if you're tired, if you're stressed or whatever, like, that doesn't work out that way. And then you just get into really bad habits that cycle on a daily basis. So instead it would be like, okay, if 8 a.m. is your thing and you're kind of a night owl, you like to stay up a little bit later, then 11, turn your stuff off, read, take a hot bath or shower. That's actually a big strategy for helping go to sleep. Anytime I can't sleep, I just hop in the shower real quick, take a hot shower, let your body get a little warm. And then when you come out, it cools down. That cooling off process helps with sleep tremendously.
Interesting. I always associate a shower with kind of like waking me up.
It's the cooling off aspect of it. I mean, some people even have done like ice baths and stuff like that. Like, that would, I don't think that would do it for me, but I think that would just like freak me out, right?
Yeah, I don't know if I could do that.
But a hot shower or a quick, or even like a hot bath, to the point where you kind of like, you know how you have a hot bath or shower and your body temperature changes to the point where you're like, okay, this is too hot, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm over it. Then get out and your body immediately cools down. That cooling down effect is, for whatever reason, I'm sure there's some science behind it, it helps your nervous system kind of down-regulate and just kind of like relax or something. And that relaxing effect helps your brain and prepare everything for sleep. So that's kind of cool. What can we do from here? And what can we offer people as some strategies aside from buying blackout curtains, I just must do this, and you must get a sound machine.
I can talk about waking up, I guess, because I don't have a lot of expertise with looking at going to sleep since it's so easy for me, but waking up is not, because I think I don't know the science behind it, or I don't necessarily know the psychology. I think it has something to do with the fact that in my life, like, I'll go to bed and I'll be like, okay, I'm going to wake up at this time. And then when my alarm goes off, I shut it off. The same way people would think I'm going to start a diet the next day or whatever. I guess my brain is predisposed to do stuff like that. So I had this problem where I would go to sleep, my alarm would go off, and I would snooze. And I would snooze for an hour. So every 12 minutes or whatever it is, my alarm would go off.
What time are you going to bed before then?
I don't know. It would always be about 8 hours. I would just keep trying to get as much sleep as possible, so I would keep hitting the snooze button.
Well, but it sounds like you're just not giving yourself enough time. Like,
it could have been.
And what are you waking up for? Is this for work or something?
Yeah, usually it'd be that I need to wake up for work or whatever.
It sounds like you literally need to do what we're talking about here. You probably don't give yourself enough time to wind down, and you probably don't give yourself enough time to kind of oversleep a little bit.
Yeah, I have come up with a different solution. I don't know if this is the optimal solution, but I'll share it in case anybody else wants to do it. Some of the things that I tried, I bought an alarm clock that shot a propeller up into the air, and you couldn't shut the clock off until you went and found the propeller. But then I figured out that there was a button that I could press that would shut it off, so that was out the window. I got this thing called Clocky, which was on wheels, and it would roll off of your dresser, and roll around the room using a fractal noise that was completely unique each time. It was just different beeps and boops, and so you couldn't get used to it, and then it would roll around until you got up and grabbed it. What actually happened was I got so good at hearing the first piece that I was catching it, grabbing it, shutting it off, and going back to sleep. So that was out the window. I tried different sleep apps. I tried the Up by Jawbone band that I had, you know, years ago, right when that came out. That was like one of the first activity trackers. That didn't really help. The only thing that ever actually got me on a schedule and makes me feel better overall is when I go to bed, I use this app, and I don't know if it's on iPhone, so I apologize to iPhone users if it's not, but it's called I Can't Wake Up Free, and it will put an alarm on. It does that alarm where it's very quiet at first, and then it gets slightly louder, slightly louder, slightly louder. When you grab it, in order to stop the alarm, you have no options. You can't snooze, can't do anything. In order to stop the alarm, you have to play a couple of little games. They're super easy. It's like turn over the dots and match the colors, and they're not like nice graphics or anything. Match the country to its capital, blah, blah, blah. And get to play like 5 or 6 of those games. And by the time you get to the end, your brain has engaged in being cognitively awake, so you don't go back to sleep. I wouldn't be able to snooze past that because I'm up.
So, I feel like you just need more sleep, though. I feel like you shouldn't even have to go through this. I mean, unless this is like some kind of medical reason. Like if you slept 10 hours every day, I mean, you're not on a schedule today, like now. So are you doing this even now?
Well, yeah, I do. I am doing it now because it's a different time each day. I do it based on when I go to sleep. I always set it for 8 hours, but like I said earlier, for whatever reason, when I oversleep, and I will sleep forever, like I'll sleep for 14 hours if I let myself, I just feel worse. So
I don't know.
I used to try that. I used to try to wake up whenever.
So I think you should try to give yourself a week of just sleeping to whenever and not setting something. It sounds like or maybe you need to make it 9 hours. Like maybe you're just not giving yourself enough time. Like everybody has a different range.
Well, I'm not sure that the snooze is still a problem because I figured this out a couple of years ago and I've been running on the same routine ever since. And I don't feel like I need to snooze now. I don't know if I solve the problem. I don't know if I'm doing the wrong thing. When I'm on like vacation and stuff, I don't do it. I stay, you know, even more asleep. So it would be interesting to look at it and see now that I've gotten rid of that snooze habit, if I still do that, but...
Okay, well, what about the people that don't have that problem? Because that's going to be the majority.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the problems with going to sleep. I sleep the second I lay down, so I can't really help with my own personal experience. I just know that sleep cycles are important to understand. It sometimes may be better for you to sleep for 40 minutes or 30 minutes than it is for you to sleep 3 hours or 4 hours if you wake yourself up in the middle of a sleep cycle. Sleep is a super interesting thing.
It depends, though, like because some people are just in so much in sleep debt that they need every hour they can get. I think the goal for most people, maybe the takeaway from the show that we'll close out with, is get those blackout curtains, get the damn sound machine, and then figure out a solid routine where you tack on an hour at night and an hour in the morning to give yourself a range, right? I think too many people try to just fit the bare minimum they can into sleep. And then when they don't stick to it, it's like what everyone does. Like I'm gonna start going to the gym 5 days a week when they're not even going, when they're not even going 1 day a week. It's like, dude, you should be doing the reverse. You should be nailing 1 day a week before you even consider 2 days a week,
right?
Let alone five. I think the same thing for sleep.
Same thing with deep work. You know, don't start with 4 hours of deep work. Start with one.
Any goal setting or habit setting is based on doing the bare minimum. So like even with push-ups, if you want to do a daily push-up routine, you should aim to do one push-up, right? If you do more, great, but at least your goal is one. There's no reason you can't do one push-up. And until when you get that down for like 30 days and every single day you're doing one push-up, then you could add two or maybe five or whatever it is and just build a little bit at a time. I think sleep's the same way and people need to think of it that way. You need to give yourself a lot more time, a bigger range so that you can have some variability because you're not going to stick to it perfectly. You're going to have days where you aren't on the perfect schedule or you sleep longer or you don't sleep as much or whatever. But if you give yourself a range, you just give yourself a lot more room for error, which is going to increase the likelihood you'll stick to it because it's not going to be something you're going to get frustrated with or you're just going to fall off of habit because you think you need to be perfect or whatever. So I think mapping that out, maybe doing some testing, like if you could go a whole week of going to bed an hour early and then just letting your body sleep as long as it needs, doing things like that, right? Like that could be huge. Maybe on the weekends, maybe try to sleep a little bit more. You know, I know it's not as simple as just a blanket recommendation because some people, what they find is if they sleep in on the weekends, they have trouble falling asleep. Like say come Sunday night and then they're up late and then Monday rolls around and then they're tired. And like, it's just like this vicious cycle. So, you know, these are things you have to really test. You have to understand your body. You have to understand things that have worked for you in the past. I would highly, highly recommend tracking these things and keeping some actual data. The Oura Ring is a good thing that you can use. Obviously, maybe like Fitbit or what are these other trackers. Like there's a lot of stuff you could probably use. Even apps.
There was a sleep tracker that you would track your sleep and then say how you felt over the course of a day with like an emoji.
Yeah. And there's probably a lot of things. Yeah. And I mean, definitely try some things, test some things.
But definitely don't do that thing that everybody does where on the weekend when you normally go to bed at 10 PM, now all of a sudden you're out till 2 in the morning drinking. Like get to sleep at the same time. Like you're going to completely violate any work that you've accomplished on getting your circadian rhythm in order by just throwing it out the window on the weekend. Like that doesn't 5 days in a row doesn't form a habit, you know?
Well, and also like stop drinking alcohol. It's so stupid.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, a lot of people are going to hear that and think, what are you talking about? Like it's ridiculous. But like, honestly, if you really analyze how absurd and damaging alcohol is to the human body, how it actually serves no purpose. And anyone that tries telling you that wine is good for you because you get antioxidants is full of shit, loaded shit. You know, in fact, the research that they even did for that and that was linked to resveratrol, right, was biased. And when they actually looked at the data, they saw that it was like done, or the research was done very poorly. It was probably sponsored by like the wine industry or something. Complete and utter garbage.
And my favorite is how people like to parrot that. You know, they're like, my doctor said, drink a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
You know,
or a glass of wine or whatever.
Yeah, a glass of wine.
And now, obviously, people are going to drink alcohol. Like, I'm not expecting you not to. But if I can convince you enough that it's freaking stupid, then hopefully I can keep you from drinking two glasses a day and down to one or whatever. Like, if I can always give you the most sensationalist check at the other end of the spectrum, I feel like I'm doing you a favor, right? So like some people will hear these things and it's the typical dissonance. Like they want to dismiss what I'm saying or whatever because they like their beer, like they like their alcohol. But the reality is you, when you drink these things, are doing nothing for your health and you are definitely paying a health cost. That is the number one thing to consider. And if you are doing it for social reasons, grab a soda water and lime and nobody will know the difference. And don't succumb to peer pressure because that's just a pathetic failing of the mind. And that's something that is, you know, a byproduct of our evolutionary history and our evolutionary past. And the reason, you know, we do that, we can understand, but then we can also make decisions to not have to do that. And that's a topic for another day. But I can just tell you right now that alcohol is stupid.
In relation to sleep, it's actually exceptionally bad. People will think, oh, I'm going to have a nightcap before I go to sleep. It does the opposite.
That's going to ruin, and it's going to mess up your REM sleep.
So yes.
Just don't do that. Yep. Oh, I almost forgot. The number one thing that you're going to need that helped me, that I think most people could probably use, especially since a lot of people are deficient in these nutrients, is a product called ZMA. So it's zinc, magnesium, and usually has, I think, B6 in it. I've been taking the brand Now Foods for years, and it's a great product. If you've never used it, the first few nights, you'll sleep crazily well, and you'll have crazy dreams, but that's awesome. So I highly recommend trying ZMA, and that would be the third product I would recommend with today's show. Take it about 30 minutes before you go to bed.
Do you ever lucid dream when you take that stuff?
I don't have the time or energy to even try to get into that. It would be cool if I could do that, but you know, whatever. So that's going to wrap up today's show. We're going to definitely do a follow-up show. I'm going to try to get like a sleep researcher on maybe. A book I just read that's good by Sean Stevenson is Sleep Smarter, 21 Essential Strategies to Sleep Your Way to a Better Body, Better Health, and Bigger Success. Those are some pretty big, bold claims, actually. But, you know, sleep can do it. So what are the call to actions, Brent, for today's show?
Well, we gave them up front, but they were buy a white noise machine, black out your curtains with the duct tape and blackout curtains. I think I said that in a very weird way, but black out your room with blackout curtains and duct tape.
And get rid of any artificial light.
Yep.
Just unplug the damn things. Like, if you have to have a TV in your room, put on a power strip and turn it off. And I think that's good. Oh, and get the app F.Lux. It's an amazing app. I use it all the time, even during the day. And then obviously use Night Shift on your iPhone. And that's going to be a wrap. If you guys have any questions or comments, shoot us an email to ancestralmind@gmail.com or info@wildfoods.co. And make sure you like and subscribe and do all those cool things that help support the show. And if you have any topics you want us to cover, there's any guests you want us to have on the show, let us know.
Get us your questions and comments and all that. We will start reading some of those on the air.
We need more content. We need more interesting things to rap about. And, you know, we don't know what you're struggling with if you don't tell us. So let us know.
That's it. Make sure
you have a good day and like crush
life. Get some sleep.
Get some damn sleep.
Does sleep. A lot of good. You won't be cranky. You won't yell at people. You won't yell at your teachers.
You'll respect your teachers more, maybe.
I don't know about that.
A wrap.
Please always remember that the members of the Ancestral Mind podcast are not, in fact, medical professionals. They're not doctors. They're not nutritionists. They are simply providing this entertainment for you to do your own research and to entertain yourselves. So please consult a physician before changing your diet. Not everything works for everybody. And make sure you always do your own research on everything you hear on this show and outside.